Good to see everyone this morning. We need to go ahead and we need to begin. I apologize for running a few minutes behind this morning. And I had a neighbor needing some parts and a pump this morning, and I had to help him real quick, but I apologize for that. I thought I'd be a little later than I am, but I didn't. I just had to hurry up and get here this morning, but good to see everyone this morning. And so you wasn't getting real worried? Well, I guess that's better than getting a call 5 minutes before saying I can't be there, right? Everybody ready for the big day tomorrow? You got your glasses. Well, don't tell my wife. She may steal them from you. She's been all over Madisonville looking for them. So. You did? Give you $2 for them right now. How many have glasses? Raise your hand. Anybody? Wow. Everybody's got glasses? I'm good. I got a welding helmet. I'm just going to use a welding helmet or something like that. Really?
Yeah.
Who does? Where is Finders Keepers?
Down there by Elder Sario.
What? I don't know where Old Key Street is. All right. I do. Yeah, I know where you're talking about. Right. I got you. Okay. All right. All right. Good. Let me catch my breath here. Isaiah 62, if you'll turn there, we'll start and we'll begin. We'll pray here in just a second, but Isaiah chapter number 62 this morning. And I think there's 12 verses in the chapter. We're not going to look at all the verses this morning, but we're going to bring out a few of them and look at those this morning. And it's a good chapter to read and study over, but we'll get into that here in just a second. Let's do pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being here this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of life that you've granted to us again this morning. We thank you for life. Lord, we acknowledge, we understand, and we realize this morning that it's a gift from you, and we thank you for it. We do pray for our day today, for your blessings upon all that's said and done today. We also, Lord, ask for your blessings upon our service this morning and this evening, the week that lies ahead. We pray for that as well, that you would guide, lead, and direct us. And, Lord, we pray that you would use us as we serve you this week. May you empower us. God, we need your wisdom. We need your help. We need your understanding. And God, we pray for that this morning as well. Lord, we do want to pray for those this morning that are in need, those who have prayer requests, those that may be sick this morning, that you would bless there, that you would heal those that need healing this morning, that you would take care of maybe problems that people have this morning. And whatever their need may be this morning, we pray that you would help in supplying that this morning. Lord, we do pray for the many missionaries that we support this morning that are serving you around the world. We pray that you would empower them. We pray that you would bless their ministries this morning, that you would give them fruit for their labors, and that you would supply their many needs this morning as well. We do pray, Lord, for our country this morning. We pray for revival. We pray for a awakening of the people of God in this nation. And God, may we realize and understand that the answer is turning back to you. And God, I pray that that would be so this morning. Lord, we pray now that you take the next few moments as we read a few verses, as we study your word, that you would give us understanding, that you would, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning through your word, and may you do a work in our midst today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Isaiah chapter number 62. Is a wonderful chapter. We're not going to read all the verses this morning as we kind of get into our lesson this morning, but as we have mentioned many weeks now, that as you study through the book of Isaiah, that you will find that the people of God had turned their backs upon God. They had actually turned to idol worship and were worshiping idols, and they had different types of idols that they worshiped, and disturbing, if you would, to see a people of God who were so blessed of God turn their backs on God and start, you know, some of them made images out of stone. Some would make images out of wood. They would worship those as a god that could help them and supply their needs, knowing that that image could do nothing for them. But in this chapter here, even though the people of God had forsaken God, you'll find that in this chapter it is a reminder unto us that God never forsook them. And God loved them. And God wanted them back in the fold. You see this morning that a child of God can stray away from God, but you'll always find God will never stray away. God never turns his back on the people of God. And so this is a reminder in this chapter of the love of God for a people that had turned their back on him. And it is a constant reminder unto us as well, the importance, even in our own life, of understanding that people are not always going to do the way we think they ought to do in life, but we are to still love people. We ought to love one another, even though a brother or sister in Christ may venture away from God, it doesn't mean that we turn our back on them either. We are to continue to love the child of God, the sister and brother in Christ this morning, because God does the same, and he reminds us of that in this chapter here. Now, God's people are promised that they will be restored, that they will be redeemed. In fact, they are going to be given a name of the redeemed of the Lord. Now, redeemed means to be bought back. And you'll find here that that they're going to be restored, and they will be made precious in the sight of God. This message here in this chapter 62 is a reassurance of the promises that God had made in the past unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the promises that God made unto them, God's going to fulfill those. You know, when God makes a promise, you mark it down. It's going to take place. God always keeps his promises, and that is a reminder in this chapter as well. You'll note here that that God is concerned with all the people of the world, and even eventually bring the nations together in Jesus Christ. But we're going to begin here in verse number 1, and I'm going to read just, we're only going to actually look at a few verses here this morning, kind of highlight a few here. But I do want to begin in verse number 1 where it says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace." Now the word "I" here is referenced unto God. It's not talking about Isaiah, but it's talking about the Lord. God speaking through Isaiah, and God says here that he will not hold his peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness therefore go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. But I want to go back here to verse number 1. We'll make note here of a few things, and then we'll move on down through the chapter here. You'll find here that God says that he will not hold his peace here. God is not going to stop declaring the truth to all of mankind, whether they receive it or not, whether they like the truth or not. God makes a statement here that he's not going to stop declaring the truth here. Now, I think we would all come to an agreement this morning that there's nothing any more needed in our day and age than the truth of the Word of God being preached. We have got to understand the importance of the truth of the Word of God and that truth being preached to the world. Now, we live in a day and age where there's a lot going on in religion this morning, but not a lot of preaching on the truth of the Word of God. We've got to get back to the basics. You know, you'll hear sports teams always talking about, boy, you got to get back to the basics. You got to master the basics of any sport to be really good at it. And it will also be true when it comes to the world. We've got to get back to the basics of preaching, thus saith the Lord. Now you say, well, you know, it's not popular anymore. Well, number one, I don't totally agree with that. I know there's a lot of people saying that you got to do this, you got to change the style, you got to change the message, you got to change the appearance, you got to change everything about religion to make it appealing to the world. That's garbage this morning. What the world needs is the truth of the Word of God. So, well, not everybody's going to receive it. Well, I've got news for you. They didn't receive all of it, and not everybody received it when even Jesus preached it himself. You'll find that even in the New Testament, when you follow the life of Christ, there were a lot of lonely days that Christ found himself by himself because a lot of people didn't like the message. They didn't maybe receive the message. They didn't quite maybe agree with the message.
But and that's true today as well, but that's not the point this morning. It's not how well liked the message may be or how well it may be received this morning. That doesn't matter this morning. The world still needs a group of people, a remnant of people that will stand on the Word of God and preach the Word of God, whether it's popular or not. And we find here that there is a remnant of people that do believe the message, and that's not part of our message, our lesson this morning, but we find here that God says, I'm not going to hold my peace. I mean, if you think we're going to just shut up and hold our peace, that's not going to happen. In fact, you'll find that if you study on, that what was more needed is more proclamation of the truth. And that's what we need in our day and age this morning. We need more people proclaiming the Word of God. Say, well, we need more preachers. Well, no, to be honest, we just need more Christians doing their part, telling others about Christ. It's not that, you know, and I'm not saying we don't need more preachers, but I feel that what we need more than anything is just more Christians doing their job, telling the world that Jesus Christ is the way and the only way. Well, not everybody's going to like that message. Doesn't matter if everybody, I don't expect everybody to like it. I don't expect everybody to agree. But that's not the point. The point is, I will not hold my peace in verse number one. We should never stop declaring the truth of the Word of God to the world this morning. God, he says in verse number one, not only will he not hold his peace, but he also says, I will not rest. Well, I'm glad God doesn't rest this morning. But you'll find here that he's declaring that he's not going to stop giving the message, and he's not going to take vacation from doing that. He's not going to rest in proclaiming the message or the truths, if you would. And this morning we have to understand that there is no place to stop. I mean, there doesn't reach a plateau in life to where you say, well, you know, I've done my part. It's all over with. It's time for me to stop. There's never a stopping point to proclaiming the Word of God. There's no age limit. Now, what is retirement nowadays? Anybody know what is it? If the average person is, what is retirement? How much? You work till you die? Okay, all right. I don't like that answer. Somebody give me a better answer. I don't want to work till I die. I'm shooting for retirement someday. 65. Man, I'm close. I'm getting there. All right. When it comes to the Christian life, there is no retirement. There's no point where you stop working, and God says he's not going to rest. You'll find that he's not going to hold his peace here in verse number one. Basically, we need to understand that we don't need to quit this morning. A lot of quitters. A lot of people come and go when it comes to the ministry of God. But thank God there are a remnant of people here and there that decided that I'm just not going to quit. You know, it's an interesting subject. You start studying a little bit about why people quit. Does anybody know why most people quit the ministry of God? Now, I'm talking about pastors. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about membership. Anybody want to take a shot at it? Anybody know? Anything you want to give this morning, that's the answer. It is such a wide study of America. To be honest with you, if you were to study religion in America today, it's very sad. People are falling by the wayside left and right. It's very discouraging. It's very disappointing. It'll cause depression upon you if you start studying it, because you're going to find out people are leaving the ministry of God for some of the stupidest, some of the silliest reasons that you could dream of this morning. I mean, some people, I don't want to venture off here, because I'll get off into that, and I don't want to get off into a lot this morning on that, but I'm just here to tell you this morning, there's a whole lot more people that have quit, that's left the ministry, that's in the ministry today. Would you agree? Hey, if you don't agree, go look at the parking lot at Walmart this morning. It is full. Because it's going to be more people go to Walmart this morning in our county than to the house of God this morning. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to die and go to hell if you go to Walmart today, but I'm just trying to prove a point that there's a lot more people out of church than it is in church this morning. So what do we do? God says, well, number one, I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to hold my peace. And as a child of God, I think we'll have the same goals this morning. I'm not going to hold my peace this morning. I'm going to do my very best to proclaim the truths of the Word of God. Not going to quit. Not going to rest. We don't have time to rest. Time's too short. Life's too short. Lord may come back today. We don't know. We better get busy doing the work of God. You'll find as you go down through here, you know, and going back to that just a little bit, why, you ever thought about this? Why is it that just some people, they just don't quit? I'm just going to pick up Brother Jay this morning. How long you been coming to church here? Since it started. How long has that been? 1972. So you've been a member of this church. Have you been faithful all those years? Did he ever have a time where he backslid and got out of the will of God? Where's his wife at? Let me get my eyes back on. Have y'all been in church? I ask you this morning. Have you been in church at this church, and I'm going to call you a faithful member, since 1972? Since 1972. So that's how many years? How many years is that? 45? So let me ask you, what is different about the Clarks than all the others that came and left? You been what? Okay, well, that's easy, okay? That's easy to say. What do you mean when you say you've been faithful? Been dedicated, okay? What else? How come you never quit? Had no reason to. Well, but I talked to the ones that used to sit beside you that maybe they left 15, 20 years ago, and they could give all the reasons why they left. It's not a trick question. I really don't know what the answer may be of why there's just some people that have just stuck to the Word of God and just. I realize there may be some in this room, maybe that you were maybe unfaithful for a period of your time in life. Maybe you got away from the will of God for a period of time in your life, and maybe you're back in the fold. Praise God for that. But what is it? What is it that makes one person that? Brother Jay, have you ever had problems in your life? Miss Clark, have you ever had problems? Have you ever had disappointments, heartbreaks, discouragement? You ever been depressed, disappointed? We could go on and on and on. So they face the same battles that the average person has faced in life, but yet they stay faithful. Why is that? I don't know. You ever ask your own self what makes you faithful? Brother Dwayne, why do you come? Okay, so there's been a period of time where you've been in and then out and now back in. Am I understanding you? Okay, Okay, then let me ask you this. Then why is it there's some that were in the will of God but got out but never came back? Foolish, okay. We could maybe classify them as a foolish decisions in life, and maybe... Brother Jones, let me ask you, how long have you been a member of this church? Been that long? 25 years. This church, 25 years. The church is how old? 45? 25 years. That's a long time. Why is it you're still here? I'm not trying. It's no trick question. I'm just wondering. Isn't it amazing? If you ask me why I'm here this morning, I've been in church since, I've told people I was in church long before I was ever born. My mom carried me to church before I was ever born. Been married a long time. Been a long, long life. My wife said I've become more forgetful since I turned 50. My life's been a long, hard life, though. But anyway, I've even asked my own self, what is it that, it's just a legitimate question. What makes me go to church this morning? Why is it that I can drive down the road this morning and I'm going to pass a lot more people that's not going to go to the house of God this morning, but yet I'm going? If you know anything about my testimony, I come from a good family. I come from a good home. I've been raised in church all my life. Church is all I know on Sundays. And maybe I could go back and say, well, maybe that's just what was instilled in me. Maybe, and maybe so. Maybe I was, you know, grew up in church. Maybe that was instilled in me. And you know, I just look at it this way. I've just decided I'm not going to quit. Now, I'm a little scared to say that because who knows what the devil may do when you make a comment like that. And I realize, you know, there was Peter. You know, he stuck his foot in his mouth more than once. You know, well, it won't happen to me. And I'm not saying it can happen to me, but I'll tell you why I'm here this morning, because I just decided, you know what, church is the place to be on Sunday. I've done it all my life. Why quit now? And that's very generic in an answer this morning, but I'm glad that God decided, you know what, I'm not going to hold my peace, and guess what? I am not going to rest. I am not going to quit. I'm glad God doesn't quit. And in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of people come and a lot of people go. And I'm sure you could testify the same this morning. And I hate to see people go by the wayside. But we live in a day and an age, dear friend, where I think it's going to be even more frequent than not. You're going to see a lot of people go by the wayside. Because the message of the truth of the Word of God is not popular today. Now, I'm not talking about this watered-down religion and all these social clubs everywhere in town and every city around the United States of America. I'm just talking about a church that just believes the Word of God, believes you ought to act upon the Word of God, you ought to live like the Word of God. We believe the Word of God, and we preach the Word of God. Those are far and few and in between. And it's not. We're not going to get popular tomorrow. It's not. I mean, we're not going to dive off into popularity because of the truth that we hold this morning. God said, "I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to rest." Maybe this morning that'll be one of the most important decisions we make this week. And say, you know what, I'm going to do this week. You know, whatever may come, I'm not going to quit. I got plans to be back next week. I got plans to be back next month. I got plans, you know, Lord willing, I'm going to be in my place. I'm way off track. Now, you'll find also in verse number 1, he says, until the righteousness thereof, and boy, righteousness is something, you know, that you just don't see much preached on righteousness anymore. We'll often make the statement that we serve a righteous God, which we do. But you find that it is talking about the people of God as well. Now, righteousness, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. Righteousness means morally right, acting in a just, upright manner. I've always described it this way. Righteousness is just right living. Living right. Oh, God help us. If we preached that in the pulpit today, you'd split a church right down the middle. People don't want to be told, people say, I'm not going to go to some church on Sunday and hear some man tell me how to live my life. Well, I've got news for you. God's going to tell you how to live your life. When you read the Word of God, it is God's Word speaking to an individual in how to live. You're going to find in this very chapter, God's going to give them very distinct instructions of what He wants them to do. I believe this. I believe that the Word of God instructs us in every aspect of everything in your life and my life. I think God is so detailed in the Word of God that you know, my problem is not believing it this morning. My problem is just living it. Because, I mean, God is very, very distinctive in every aspect of my life when it comes to the Word of God. Righteousness, it means right living. It means that the people of God ought to live right. It's a little generic this morning, but God expects us to live right. Why? Because we're an example to the world. You know, you just don't, you know, we just don't understand something. We don't hear it as much maybe as we did maybe in times past from messages about how that, you know, we have to understand we are an example to the world. You ever heard the old saying, you're the only Bible most people are ever going to read?
your life.
I look at it this way. How many has got to get up and go to work tomorrow morning? Anybody got to do that tomorrow? I think when we get up on Monday morning and go to work, we'll live right. I think God's people will be the best workers. Wherever you work, you ought to be the best worker there. I think you ought to work. I've always taught this. I think a child of God ought to outwork a lost man 2-1. I think he ought to show up on time, if not early. He ought not cheat. He ought not steal from his boss or whoever employs him. He ought to give a good day's work. Don't bellyache. Don't complain. And it's awful quiet this morning, so we'll move on, all right? Why? Because we're an example to the world we live in. Lost people, all they see is your actions. They can only see the way you live. And they do watch. And by the way, they'll be the first ones that want to jump on the bandwagon of criticizing you too when you make a mistake. And you're going to make some mistakes in life. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying we're not ever going to fall. I'm not saying we're not ever going to show up late maybe someday at work or alarm doesn't go off or have a problem here and there and so forth. All that does happen. But we have to understand that we represent Jesus Christ. We have to understand this morning that we claim and we call ourselves Christians. The word Christian means to be Christ-like. We're not Christ, but we're to be like Him. I just feel like if Jesus Christ were going to work tomorrow, he'd show up on time. I think he'd work hard. He's going to outwork everybody else there and be a good example. Let's move on here. You find in verse number 2, it says, and the Gentiles, this message was not just for the Jew. This was also for the Gentile. In fact, the people of God, the Jewish people, were to live a life in such a way that they were an example to those ungodly, rebellious Gentiles. Because the Gentiles needed to see something special in a child of God. And that principle still applies today. There are going to be some people this morning, they are not going to listen to you tell them the gospel story. They don't want to hear it. But you know what? There are ways you can actually show them even in the way that you live. Now, I'm not saying that we'll just try to live right and never witness to anybody. I think they go hand in hand. I think we'll live our life in such a way so that when we do present the gospel to somebody, they're more apt to listen to what we have to say. You'll find in verse number 2, the message of this righteousness of the people of God being that example was not limited to the nation of Israel, but also to the Gentiles. It was for all to see. You see, God is not a respecter of persons, and God's goal is to seek and to save that which was lost, and God offers salvation to all this morning. Let me move on here as well. I'm going to skip some. I'm going to skip on down. Well, you'll find in verse number 6, he says, I have set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. And they make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. And boy, we could just stop right there a little bit and talk a little bit about the importance of the watchmen on the wall. I think this morning, Brother Richardson will be the watchman on the wall. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a pastor of any church, this one included, for the pastor to get in the pulpit and warn the people about dangers that he sees in life. Am I right? We all agree this morning. What's wrong with a pastor being the watchman on the wall and pointing out, you better be careful with that over there, that's very dangerous. Or they maybe point out the enemy or mark the enemy, whatever the case may be, and warn the people of God. That was what a watchman was for. But nowadays, most churches, they don't want the pastor of the church telling them about the dangers of life. And most of the time, the reason they don't want to be warned of the dangers of life because they're involved in the dangers of life. We're so afraid that we're just going to, we're going to rub somebody wrong. Boy, we need to be rubbed wrong a whole lot, don't we? A watchman. What was his job? To watch out for danger. Watch out for the enemy. Watch out for an attack. And nothing has changed today as well. That's why the pastor gets up and proclaims the word of God. That's why the preacher gets in a pulpit this morning and teaches, thus saith the Lord, warning people, protecting people, and doing it in a right spirit of love, but of truth as well. Let me see here where I want to go here. Let's go down to verse number 10. You're going to find in verse number 10, God instructs his people of some things that I think are very interesting. He says in verse number 10, go through the gates, prepare you the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, talking about preparing a way for the people in their return back to God. And it's interesting. It's like maybe making the road smooth once again and throwing the stones out. Interesting thought there as well about preparing a way for the people of God to come back unto God. You could look at it in many different ways. It seems that it implies this morning that God wants the way back to be an easy way back for people. Listen, there's going to be people, and we can go ahead and acknowledge it this morning, that are going to fall by the wayside. Now, I just pray this morning that it's not myself, and I pray that it's not you this morning. But if the averages hold true, there's going to be somebody in this room that's going to fall by the wayside. For whatever reason, they decide to quit. You think the answer is quitting, you're tired, you're burnt out, whatever you want to call it this morning. But if we are right as a congregation this morning, We better make sure that there is a way back for them. Did you hear me this morning? You said you left, right? All right, so you were in church at one point in life, and then there was a point where you got out of church. How long were you out of church? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Wow.
Long time.
Okay, all right. But I see. And that's usually when most people will quit. Okay, all right. Right. All right, so let's just use Brother Dwayne as an example. Let's say that he decides this morning, he's done. I'm tired, I'm burnt out, I just don't care anymore. It's just not for me. And let's say he quits. And he doesn't come back next week. And he doesn't come back next month. Let's say he's out for a year. You see, if we are right in our own hearts as a congregation, we'll try to make sure that the path back is a smooth path for him to come back on. There's no stumbling blocks. There's no rocks in the road for him to stumble and maybe not make his way back. You see, you'll find in verse number 10, he's talking about on the way back. God's trying to get the child of God back in the fold, trying to get him back in relationship with him, back into worship with him. He's wanting to make sure that path is a smooth path. It's a highway. It's paved, if you would. We get all the stones out of the way so that when Brother Dwayne decides, maybe I need to go back, that there's no reason for him not to go back. You see, I'm afraid so often in most churches we do this. Ah, good riddance. God help us when we get that way. Ah, we're better off without Brother Dwayne. We're not better off without anybody. I can't make anybody come back, but I hope that my life is not in such a way that would cause somebody not to come back to God. And that's what he's talking about in verse number 10. And God instructs his people to gather. It's interesting. He says in verse number 10, to cast up the highway, gather out the stones. He said, get all the rough spots out of the road. Get all the stones out of the way. If they decide to come back, he said, I don't want them to trip. I don't want them to fall, because if they fall or if they trip or stumble on a stone on the highway, they may decide that's the end of it, and they don't come back. And I don't care who it is, if a child of God decides to come back to the fold, we better open up our arms and welcome them back. Well, I don't agree with their lifestyle. Well, I've got news for you. I probably don't agree about yours either. And if you looked at mine, you probably wouldn't agree about everything in me either. You see, this morning, I'm going to be honest with you, my flesh reacts like the flesh wants to react.
And there's not anybody in this room this morning that is without sin this morning. There's not a single soul in this room that is without sin. Well, their sin's greater than mine. Let me tell you what, dear friend. One sin to send somebody straight to hell this morning. Sin is sin. And I understand there are some people that get their life so messed up and so away from God that it's hard for them to come back. But listen, as a child of God, it's not my place to judge them. It is my place to just make sure that if they ever want to come back, there's a highway. It's smooth. I got all the stones out of the way so that you could have an easy path back. Isn't it amazing here how much God loves the wayward child of God? Do you understand here in Isaiah chapter 62, we are talking about the God of heaven welcoming back those that turned their back on him, that went into idol worship, and God wants the path so smooth that there's not one stone in the path for their return. That's how much God loves his people. That's how much God loves you this morning. Hey, that's how much God loves that one that doesn't sit beside you anymore because they got out of the will of God and quit church and turned their back on God. God doesn't hate them. God wants them back. So they're to build that smooth road for their return. It's interesting in verse number 10. Let's go back to it. Go through thy gates, prepare the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones. And then it says, lift up a standard for the people. Interesting statement there. Last little part of the verse says, lift up a standard for the people. I was working on a message about a month ago, and I was going to use this verse as well in that, talking about the standard. The standard was basically, in most all cases, used back in the day of Isaiah. It was a flag. Everybody had a flag. Every army had a standard. The standard was usually a flag. Their flag was very distinctive. It described and represented a certain group of people. It was a rallying point, if you would. It was something that they would raise up in the air that could be seen from afar off. And God says, not only do I want the road smooth, not only do I want it a highway, not only do I want all the stones cast out, I want you to put standards along the way so that they can see it afar off, so they can see that there is still a people of God, that there is a way home. You're studying the Bible, there were also people called, every army had a standard, which was a flag. It represented that particular army. It would describe, it would have some insignia on it certain colors, or maybe it had a picture of something on there, and it would kind of define who they are. Every army had what they called a standard bearer. His job was to hold the standard up. This morning, that flag is a standard. It's not the only one in this room. You'll look around, there's a lot of flags around here. Each one of them is a standard. Each one of them is distinctively different. They look different. They use different colors. They will represent different countries. And that will also kind of give you an idea about that country as well. But that flag right there, that's my standard. That flag stands for something this morning. And I'm so sick and tired of all these heathen people out there and these ungodly people out here wanting to burn the flag. I don't think we understand this morning how upside down and how rotten this country is this morning. I've never seen so many protesters in my life protesting just everything under the sun. But that flag right there means something. Now, when you look at that flag, it's the flag of the United States of America. We call it the red, what? Red, white, and blue. We have certain colors. We have stars on that flag. Those stars mean something. Each stripe means something on that flag. Each color means something on that flag. And by the way, it'd do a lot of schools a lot of good to go back and teach what that flag really means. Why it's red, why it's white, why it's blue, why there's stars, why there's stripes, how many stripes, what does the stripes mean? You mean to tell you what it means? It describes the country we live in. And I'm proud to be an American this morning. And I think you are too. But when it comes to the cause of Christ this morning, my standard is this right here. It's the Word of God. And what this world needs more than anything this morning are standard barriers that will hold up the truth of the Word of God and tell the world, I've got the answer right here. This is the standard this morning. It's the Word of God. Well, my church teaches something different. Then find a new church. Well, my preacher doesn't believe, blah, blah, blah. Then get a new pastor. But you better center your life around this book right here. This is the standard this morning. It's not up for debate. We don't vote on it here whether we believe it or not. And our job this morning is to hold it up and tell the world. This ought to be our rallying call right here, the Word of God. This ought to be our banner that we wave. This is what is our insignia this morning. This tells everybody, here's who we are right here, right here. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's kind of sad. There's not a big rally call around the Word of God anymore. The average church this morning, their rallying call is going to be a basketball game. Their rallying call is going to be Super Bowl Sunday. Their rally call is a whole lot of things in this world that don't mean a hill of beans this morning. But the only thing that matters this morning is the Word of God. Look at verse number 10 right here once again. You'll find he's trying to make the path back for the wayward child of God, a way for them to come back to God, because that's God's goal all along. He wants the child of God back. He loves the child of God. So in verse number 10, he tells them to go through the gates, go out there, prepare the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. It'll be something just waving in the sky so that the wayward child of God can find their way back home. Oh, dear friend, this morning we need to wave the standard high. The standard is the truth of the Word of God. You'll find that that's the whole theme of it from the very beginning, is the truth of the Word of God. That is the standard. You see, this morning I am to live my life according to the truths of the Word of God. My goal in life should be every day to be pleasing in the sight of God. Our job this morning is not to try to impress each other. It's not to try to impress mankind. It's not to try to impress the world. Our job this morning is just to try to please God. And you're not going to be able to please God outside the truths of the Word of God. And that is the standard. This flag over here is a standard. What flag is this one over here? The Christian flag. On that flag, you're going to find how many colors? What colors are they? Red, white, and blue. Huh? On that flag, there's going to be a insignia. There's going to be a sign. There's going to be a picture. There's going to be a symbol. And it's a what? It's a cross. Does anybody know the Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag? All the school teachers know it, right? That flag represents something. That flag is special to us. It's an identification, if you would. It's a standard. But just like this flag over here, our problem today is not many people want to be the standard bearer. Right? The standard bearer was the one that would hold up the banner. He held up the standard. He held up the flag. That was his job. In fact, I was studying a little bit for a message. The most important job
that most armies always had, you'll find if you study it, was the standard bearer. In fact, most armies had someone that was the standard bearer. If he was shot, wounded, or killed in battle, there would be the next person that would come along that was the next standard bearer. But in every battle, their job was to make sure that banner never falls. It was very important to the army. But what's sad today, we don't find that this right here is much important to most people anymore. Most people just want to go to some church somewhere on Sunday to feel like they've done God a favor by showing up. Well, I've done my part for the week. You hadn't done anything. Well, I was in my place. Sometimes we make statements like that like we need a pat on the back. We're not doing God a favor by being here this morning. Good news for you. God's doing you a favor. He's doing me a favor this morning. My time's out, but you'll find also at the end of the chapter, he gives them a new name in verse number 12. I like verse 12. And they shall call them. I like this. The what? What's the first one he gives them? It's three names here. He gives them what? The what kind of people? Holy people. Anybody ever heard the song Holy, Holy? Is that Holy, Holy, Holy? Is it in our songbook? We don't do a lot of singing about holy, holy, holy. Sometimes we have a hard time singing that song, holy, 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 because we're not very holy. Verse 12, it says, the holy people. I like this next little one. I like this as well. The redeemed of the Lord. I'm glad to be a part of the redeemed. I mentioned at the beginning of our lesson, redeemed means to be bought back. I'm glad God bought me. Amen? I like that last little phrase of verse number 12, a city not forsaken. Do you know there's never been a second in my life that God's forsaken me? God never forsakes his own. He never forsakes his people. Interesting chapter, only 12 verses. You ought to go back and read through all of it and so forth. But interesting chapter here as you find that God's goal is always the same for a child who gets away from the fold or away from him. His goal is always to get them back. You see, this morning, you could be sitting in a pew this morning and you could be a million miles away from God this morning. And you may be just walking through the motions of life and you're just here. You're just a shell this morning. You see, just because you came to church this morning doesn't mean that you're actually in close relationship with God. Any of us this morning could be a million miles away from God. Even though we sit in a pew in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And if that be us this morning, I want us to understand and know God wants us back. A lot of people in life may not want you, but I promise you, God wants your fellowship this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. We pray for your blessings upon the service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.